This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to talk about today are biblical principles for healthy living. So we're going to look at five major principles that you will find in your Bible. But what you will also find is these principles are also being promoted in the world today. As we do more research on how to be healthy, diet, exercise, etc., etc., what we're learning is that many of the scientists who are researching this particular field are finding things that are addressed in the pages of your Bible, and we want to make that connection today. Even if you aren't a Christian, even if you aren't a believer, you can get something out of today's program that deals with how you can live a healthy, more abundant, fulfilling life. So what we're going to do is let's talk first about, or at least let me mention, what these five particular principles are. Now, the first one that we will be dealing with a little bit later is exercise. And probably many of you are familiar with aerobic exercise, anaerobic exercise, running, weightlifting, swimming, playing various sports, jump rope, all these things, even walking, are good for you. With that, you probably are aware of a lot of things having to do with diet. We're always reading articles in the newspapers and online talking about these foods are good, those foods are bad. So that's another of these five principles that we will be addressing today, our diet. The third principle that we're going to be addressing today that maybe we don't think about as much, I know that I need more of this, and that is sleep. That there are a lot of research studies that have been done around sleep recently that are giving us good information on why it's so important and how much is a good enough amount of sleep. Another area, a fourth area, is relaxation. Now, you might think of sleep as relaxation, but we're going to get a little more nuanced and show you the distinction between sleep and just general relaxation, which is also important. The fifth principle that I'll be dealing with today is, believe it or not, relationships. There's a lot of good research material out there now that tells us if we have strong bonding relationships with family and friends, that those types of things can sustain our health for long periods of time, help us get through tough times. And if we don't have those types of relationships, it can be negative for our health. So that's where we're going to be going today. But I want to mention this before we really get started. Brain scientists are telling us that mental energy comes from two sources. The first source is having a purpose in life, having a passion for life. And the second source is the fuel for that passion. And I'm here to tell you that those five principles that I'm going to be addressing today are the fuel to propel your passion in life. For those of us who are Christians, of course, our passion is getting into God's kingdom. And those of you that are not Christians, you probably do have some passion in your life, something that really gets you going. So that's what we're going to do today. What I want to do first, though, is I want to offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD. The literature I'm going to be offering you today is a pamphlet that is titled, Have the Old Testament Dietary Laws Been Abolished? Are the clean, unclean laws God gave to ancient Israel in force today? Were they given to the Hebrews only, or did God give them for the benefit of all mankind? We also want to offer you a full-length sermon CD, and the title of this CD is the same as today's program, Principles, or I should say, Biblical Principles for Healthy Living. In this CD, we will give you more information than we will be able to disseminate to you on today's program. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. I want to thank you all for joining us on today's program. Those of you who are just tuning in, what we're talking about today are biblical principles for healthy living. And what we said in the intro to today's program is many of these biblical principles are being bandied about by brain scientists, by exercise physiologists, by dietitians, and you can get an understanding of where I'm going to go today when we look at these five principles. So these are five principles that are talked a lot in the media today, but we can relate these principles back to our Bible, because who is the creator of human life but God, who has inspired the Word of God to be written, and it does address these principles that we will be addressing today. Now, as I said at the top of today's program, these principles include diet, exercise, sleep, relaxation, and relationships. So let's begin by taking a look first at our particular exercise principle that we want to address today. Now, when we talk about exercise, what we're learning is more and more research is telling us how important exercise is for healthy living. Aerobic exercise especially is very enhancing for your brain activity. What aerobic exercise does is it releases what are called neuromodulators within your brain. These are things like dopamine and serotonin. These particular chemicals, when they are released in your brain, lead to greater mental focus. And I can tell you, when I exercise at midday, there are some days where I will exercise at work around lunchtime. When I come back to work that afternoon, I feel awake, revived, and ready to go. That exercise session has done something to me physically, and as I learned about these neuromodulators and how these chemicals are released into your brain and also into your body, you may have heard of endorphins, you may have heard of a runner's high, that when you are exercising at a certain level, you have this chemical release in your body which gives you an invigorated feeling, which then propels you to continue with whatever your passion is, whether it be at work, whether it be at working for your church, or whatever it may be. It can be, you can get this energy from aerobic exercise. You can also get some of this energy from other forms of exercise too. But another thing to mention here is not just a need for exercise, but a need for not becoming a couch potato. Now, here's what I mean by that. Research is also showing us that, hey, it's great to exercise, but if you exercise and then you go sit in an office for 8 hours, and then you go home and sit on the couch for 3 hours, and then you go to sleep without any other movement during the day, you are negating some of the effects of that exercise that you got earlier in the day. Folks, we can't become couch potatoes. We need to get on our feet. We need to move. If we think about our ancestors from just 100 years ago, the amount of walking, the amount of physical exertion they did during the day is much greater than what we are doing today. Now, I know the gyms, some gyms are full, that people are weightlifting and they're exercising and they're running. But you got to remember, what are they doing for their 8 hours at work? Many of us are going into an office situation where we sit at a desk all day. Research is telling us today, get up from your desk every hour. Take a short walk and then go back to your work. Get up and move. We've got to become more movement oriented because it continues to lubricate our body. It is enhancing for your general health to move more than we are moving in today's culture with all of the advantages that we have for cooking, for cleaning, for getting from one place to another. Our ancestors 100 years ago, 200 years ago, used to walk in order to get around and do all the things that they did. Now, one scripture that brings this all to a point is over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, notice what it says here. It says in 1 Timothy 4 and 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." That there is something good about bodily exercise. They're even telling us that in the Bible. "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So what the implication is here is bodily exercise is good for the life you're in now, but it doesn't have too much to do with getting into that kingdom of God in the future. That comes through spiritual exercise and spiritual practice. But here we see, even in the Word of God, the fact that bodily exercise is a good thing for you. Now, another factor amongst these five principles, this fuel that we need for the passion that we have in life, comes from our diet, ladies and gentlemen. Your diet is very important. It is the fuel for your body. And if you put the wrong thing into your gas tank, you are going to cause problems for your car. The same thing is true if we put the wrong fuel into our body through food and drink. We are going to cause problems for our health. Now, in the Bible, there's a lot of information about what kinds of meats we should and should not eat. This information is over in the book of Leviticus. But before I talk about that, in general, what we should be eating are more natural foods. We should be eating lots of fruits, lots of vegetables, lots of whole grains. These things that come right from the earth and are not given chemicals or preservatives or things of that nature. If you can get back to the most organic things that you can food-wise, that's better for you. Getting fresh vegetables rather than canned vegetables. Getting fresh vegetables rather than frozen. But if you can't get any other, go ahead and take the frozen veggies because veggies are good for you. But when we talk about meats that we should be eating, I'd like to turn your attention over to Leviticus chapter 11 in your Bible. Now notice what it says here in Leviticus 11 and verse 7. "And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you." Now it's talking about certain animals that are unclean to us, and one of them, of course, is the pig. Many people are aware of the fact that certain religions do not eat pork or pork products. Now, a couple thousand years ago when this was written, the individuals who were writing this, I believe, were inspired by God to write this. Because how could these individuals know about what the detriments are to a ham or pork type of a diet on a regular basis? Let me just explain what I mean. You may have heard of trichinosis, where certain worms can get into the flesh of a pig. And if you don't cook pork at a certain temperature, that it was prevalent years ago for people to get this kind of disease. Now that we have better ovens when we're able to cook at higher temperatures, the prevalence of trichinosis is very limited, but it is still possible to get that type of disease from the pig. Now I know you may be saying, well, you could get E. coli from beef. This is true, but all in all, when you compare the meats of these different animals, you find something else that we've learned over the last 40 years or so about the pig meat. there are certain enzymes, certain proteins within this pig meat. One of these is called cadaverine. And cadaverine is something that is very difficult for the human body to digest, very difficult for our body to break it down. Pig meat stays in your system longer. You're expending more energy to digest ham or pig meat as opposed to chicken or fish or beef. This is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. You can read about this in The Maker's Diet. It's a great book that looks at biblical principles on diet. And once again, God knew this because He created our bodies. He knows what will work well for our bodies. Now, I'm not saying that if you eat ham, you're going to die at age 50 or 60. There are people who've eaten that type of thing all their life and live to be 80. But what I'm saying is the chances are greater for healthful living if you follow these biblical dietary laws. The dietary laws are there for obedience to God, but there are also health implications there for us. If we drop down to verse 9 of this same chapter of Leviticus 11, we read this: "These shall you eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall you eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you." Now, if we think of all the critters out in the waters, folks, what I'd like you to think about are specifically clams, oysters, mollusks, mussels. What we find, if you read your newspaper on a regular basis, which I've been doing for many years now, if I can think of one food that I see more articles about from a negative perspective, it is clams, oysters, shellfish, things of that nature, bacterial infestations into those types of animals, and then people eat them and get sick. I've seen more articles on that type of sickness than any other types of sicknesses relating to other types of animal food. And once again, God is aware of the fact that those clams and oysters that are just sitting on the sea are much more susceptible to certain infestations that can be detrimental to human consumption than other animals that are in the sea. And if you think about crabs and lobsters and sharks and catfish, what's similar about these types of animals? What's similar about the birds we're not supposed to eat, about the mammals we're not supposed to eat? What you find that is similar is these are all scavenger-type animals. Animals that are eating dead carcasses. And again, disease can easily get into a dead carcass rather than a kill that has just taken place in a particular animal. So keeping all this in mind will help you as you make your dietary choices in life. Now, another area that a lot of research is being conducted in right now is sleep. And I believe that sleep is something I need more of. When I look at these five principles, this is one I need to do a better job of. The time frame that most experts say we need each night for sleep is between 7 to 9 hours. Now, there are people that definitely can get by on less than 7 hours of sleep, but is that a good thing for you? As we do more research, we're finding that it is not a good deal for you. And let me explain what I mean. There's been some research conducted recently on looking at individuals who got 4 hours or less of sleep on 5 days in a row. And they tested these people doing manual type of things that you may expect a police officer when they are pulling over a drunk driver to do. Maybe touching your finger to your nose. Maybe reciting the alphabet with a certain letter in the middle of the alphabet and then going to the end. Walking in a straight line by placing one foot right on in front of the other. These types of tasks, when they get these sleep-deprived people to try to do these tasks, these individuals perform just like a drunk driver performs. That is scary, folks, when you think about it. Again, 4 hours or less of sleep for 5 consecutive days can lead to a diminished mental capacity to that degree. Something we all should keep in mind when we think about getting a good night's sleep. But there's something else that's important with sleep. And one article I read, a scientist was relating it in this way. He was talking about the energy that comes into a tomato each day from the sun. Let's say you have a tomato plant out in the garden. During the day, this tomato plant is soaking in all this energy from the sun. What occurs in the nighttime is that all that energy that came into the tomato is now being converted into making that tomato grow. But all of that occurs over the nighttime of the 24-hour day period. Now, the scientist said that same thing occurs in the human brain. All of the information that is hitting you all day, whether you're reading, whether you're writing, whether you're communicating, talking, what you see happening around you, all of that is coming into your brain all day. And what happens at night, you need a certain amount of time for your brain to process all of that information, to disseminate that information to the proper files that are in your brain, if there were files in your brain, if you get my drift here. So we need time to make this happen. We need good REM sleep. We need deep sleep to last for a certain period of time. And if we don't get it, then we start to become a little scatterbrained. We may forget this detail or that detail. And I know that that has happened to me when I haven't gotten enough sleep on a regular basis. Now, how does this relate to the Bible, you may ask? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. One of the major Ten Commandment laws is about rest, is about taking a break from your daily work, from your weekly work schedule. For 6 days, God tells us to work, and then He says, take that seventh day off. You got to do that in order to live a healthy life. Now, the Sabbath law of God is for other spiritual reasons too, but God created man, and God knew that man needs to take a break. Just like the daily cycle of working for so many hours and then having a period of time where you sleep, we have a weekly cycle like that, and God has a yearly cycle like that in this sense. He gives us 7 annual holy days within 3 festival seasons of the year where we are supposed to take a break and meditate and commune with each other about God and what His plan is for mankind. So you see this larger principle of rest within the Bible, and this idea of relaxation, I would mention as being our 4th principle. Now, when you think of relaxation in a worldly sense, we're not talking about sleep here. We're talking about things like meditation. We're talking about maybe reading a good book that just takes you out of the rat race of life for a period of time during the day. We're talking about just sitting down in a chair and taking it easy for a little bit during the day. These are all stress releasers that can enhance your body and your mind. You need to relax, folks. When you bring on too much stress on a regular basis, your body begins to break down. Chemicals are released in your body that cause problems for your body if they stay in there for a long period of time. We need to relax, take a deep breath, take it easy. The 5th principle and final principle I want to address on today's program is the principle of relationships. And you might not think about this too much when you think of healthy living. But what's interesting about relationships, when you have strong, bonded relationships with people in your life, family members, people from church, maybe people from work, What happens is a good chemical is released into your body. When you are feeling empathy and giving empathy, when you have sympathy for others, when you have trust, when you have generosity that you are displaying and is being displayed back towards you in healthy relationships, a chemical is released in your body. It's called oxytocin. Oxytocin, and it is actually an antidote for the bad chemical that's released in your body when you are very stressful for a long period of time. That hormone is called cortisol. So when you're too stressful for long periods of time, you get too much cortisol in your body. But when you have good relationships with people and are feeling good because of trust and empathy with others, you have this oxytocin which is released in your body, and it pushes out that cortisol and gives your body that healthy feeling that it needs to do the things that it needs to do. It needs this fuel. It needs relationships, good relationships. It needs exercise. It needs diet. It needs sleep, and it needs relaxation. Folks, you've got to follow these five principles so you can feed that passion you have to be a productive person in life. If you are a Christian, you know that you want to get into God's kingdom, but you also want to work to get other people to understand this truth about God. And the fuel you need to do that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we've been telling you today in these five principles. Now remember, get that literature that we were talking about at the beginning of today's program. We want you to get this pamphlet. It's titled, Have the Old Testament Dietary Laws Been Abolished? This will tell you that they have not been abolished. They are not only for us to be obedient to God, but they can help us with our diet, which is important to fuel us. We also want you to get that full-length CD where I expound upon these five principles to a greater degree. That CD is titled Principles, Biblical Principles for Healthy Living. Get both of those items by calling 1-888-578-8791 or visit our website, www.cgi.org. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.